Happy Thursday to everybody. Happy Thursday, Wheels.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Wheels was not paying attention to us at lunch, as he does. And I started saying dirty things about him and me.
Yeah.
And
I heard that.
Then he perked up.
Yeah. And I was like, what?
Then I had to follow through. So like, it just goes to show you.
His word is his bond.
Yep. You get yourself in trouble like that.
Hey. You know, sometimes you got to think before you speak.
But the test was successful.
Yeah.
So now we know what you respond to.
Actually, the timing was I just finished reading the thing I was reading and I looked up. That's the timing. I'm crazy like that. Like, if I'm reading something,
I'll be honest with you.
I literally do not register the things around me. I know.
It's spooky.
I know.
It's weird.
It drives Susan crazy, but she's, you know, it's been 30 plus years. It's the same thing.
We have a happy birthday. Soon to be my daughter-in-law, Nick's fiance, Bree. It's her birthday today. Nice. Happy birthday, Bree.
Happy birthday, Bree.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Be nice to be whatever young age that is. No. Well,
you're like a vampire.
I'm like, about 28. Oh,
she's definitely still in her
20s. Those were good times.
Boy, it'd be great to drink her blood, man.
No, I'm not some creepy billionaire, man.
We should switch lives or something. I don't know. I'm just...
We should really look into that.
Yeah, I think maybe AI could make that happen.
Virtual Rail Fan says his or her, I don't know which it is, birthday is tomorrow, and it'll be 33. Happy birthday.
These young kids.
I have to tell you about my day yesterday, and I'm going to warn you, it is a complete day of privilege. It just is. I'm the only person who's going to be like, no, it's not that. Yes, it completely is. I started my day going out to the Rawlings Experience at Westport. Lindsay runs the place, and she's awesome, and gave me a private tour, and it's really cool. And I'll tell you this, if you're a baseball fan, you're going to love it. If you're not a baseball fan, you're still going to find it really interesting. And for someone like me, who's a baseball fan and obsessed with baseball gloves, it's just heaven. So I got to see everything. It was really super cool. You can buy gloves and you can try them on and you can look at all the golden gloves in the museum and stuff like that. And then they have the custom room where you build your own custom glove. And Rawlings are fans of the show. And so they allowed me to go out there and I built my very own Dave Glover Rawlings Heart of the Hide baseball glove. And it was super fun. And Melissa was my glove whisperer and gave me a bunch of, you know, hey, maybe try this and that. And I thought I knew exactly what I wanted. But then together she and I built a different glove. Oh. And I'll have it in a few weeks. And I'm really excited.
Is it neon green?
No, you know what? It was tough to make a decision
because
they have so many options now.
Yep. But did you get to pick everything down to the lacing and all that kind of stuff?
I mean, everything.
Yeah, that's
every
cool.
single thing. And then yesterday, Rach and I took Dr. Kathy Maupin and her awesome husband, John, to the baseball game and sat in the sixth row of the green seats. Mm-hmm. Rach was directly behind home plate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was on television the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know how I ended up with that seat. I was very grateful to be included in that yesterday. It was really, really fun.
Really fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a super hot day, but it didn't bother us because we were having such a good time.
And you asked me about the heat. I said, okay, here's the real truth. We were all sitting in a pool of our own sweat.
Uh-huh.
And the combination of that and the wind kind of kept us okay.
Yeah, it kept us afloat.
Yeah.
But no, I had a wonderful time. Kathy and John are really, really amazing people. I got to talk to Kathy for a long time just about her career, and she is at the top of her field.
Yes.
Like, this is someone who is so passionate about what she does and does so much research and has so much experience, and it was just really fascinating talking to her about BioBalance, and and it was very fun.
It was great.
It was great. I kept sitting there going like, I can't believe I'm sitting in this seat.
It was like a great double date because it was like me, then John, then Kathy, then Rach. Rach and I see each other all day, every day. And John's just a cool dude.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you guys, and again, this sounds like, okay, Mr. Privilege, thank you. But if you ever get an opportunity, beg, borrow, and steal to get in the green seats, it's so cool. And you start out at a buffet and Wheels, the food was amazing. But the best thing they had was hot dog burnt ends.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
man. Oh, I never even had that thought
they
in my head.
They were so good.
Much less try them. They were great.
They also had cherry pie.
Yeah.
They always have those in that area.
It was good. I had a little bit of cheesecake, a little bit of cherry pie, a little donut, a little chocolate-covered pretzel.
That's the same dessert assortment that they would have in the press room, too, when you would get to buy your dinner.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they have bruschetta?
I don't remember.
That was awesome. I had like two giant servings of that.
That's
probably
awesome.
About 20 olives total.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's weird how...
I had a great day.
It's weird how bodily fluid works, because I kind of had to pee right when we were going out there. And I'm like, I'll wait a couple innings. And then I didn't pee again until I got home because I was just sweating so much.
That's how that works, kids. The stream is asking, where is Andrew? Andrew's camera is not working, but he is here.
I'm here.
I got a thing that's... I can't see the...
I was like that on opening day, Dave. And I had several adult beverages on opening day, but I didn't go to the bathroom until it was time to leave the ballpark. Because it was like, it's just warm. I think I'm just sweating.
You having stream problems, Dave?
Yeah. It asked me to hit something. And
we'll fix it on the break.
Yeah, we'll fix it on the break. It's fine.
You messed it up.
Not a problem. Oh, gosh. I think we have to go off the air. I'm pretty sure.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure I hit something. I shouldn't. So.
Okay. Let's talk about something.
It's saying, would you like an Acrobat annual prescription for $24.98? Yes, I would.
Yes. Hit yes.
Okay, here's Steve Moore's credit card number. I've got that on file.
Why wouldn't I?
Hey, Andrew's on the stream now. Okay,
I'm
great.
Back.
What else? What else? What else is going on? What do we got going on today? We have my buddy Mike Stewart, manager of the Bud Light baseball team, is coming in. He's a very generous, philanthropic guy, and he has all sorts of things going on. We're going to talk to him. Ricky Horton, Janelle's going to be here. Is Ed coming in?
Ed's coming in.
Okay, cool. Ed Wheatley, Mr. Rawlings. He has a new book, which we think you might want to get Dad for Father's Day, so he's going to be here at 4 p.m. What do you guys want to start with? Anything on anyone's mind? We'll talk about the bathroom dad a little bit.
Yeah, we can talk about the bathroom.
You know about
dad.
This?
I think I saw this.
Yeah, it's all over social media, and normally I wouldn't care. Like, okay, TikTok, what have you? But it's having been there, as every dad has, because you're not always going to have mom there with you. And this young dad, he's a single father of two girls who look to be maybe 4 or 5 years old. And they stopped at, I think, a Quick Trip somewhere.
Yeah, it was QT in Alabama.
Okay. And there were guys in the guy's bathroom. And so he checked the ladies' room. It was empty. So he had the girls go in and go to the bathroom, and he stood outside. And then when they were finished, he opened the door, and he went in to help them wash their hands. And some MAGA piece of crap comes walking in, and Mr. I hate transgender or whatever, and he's calling the police because there's a man in the woman's room and blah, blah, blah. And the guy kept his cool. I would want to kick his ass. The guy kept his cool. His little girls are crying because this guy's yelling at them, and he ended up being the one who got a fine. And so the internet's just...
The person who called the police is the one who got the fine. And I believe ended up getting fired from his job, actually.
What an ass.
I mean, it's the kind of thing where... I've used Alamo Draft House here in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. They have unisex bathrooms. Everybody just goes into a stall. It's not divided by men and women. I've never had an issue there. If I were to walk into a QT... and there was a man in the bathroom, initially I'd be like, oh, what's going on? Like, it would put me off for a second. If I saw him helping his little daughters to wash their hands, all questions immediately go away.
Absolutely.
I would rather those little girls be in the ladies' room than in the men's room. Because do you really want these two tiny little girls in the men's room where there's urinals and all sorts of stuff is going on? Like, no. I thought it was a little ridiculous for... this other man to be so upset, and he's calling on behalf of his wife, and I need to get in the bathroom, and I can't go in there because he's in there. Well, It's not like he's in there with a knife. Like, he's helping his
little daughter.
He's
not exposing himself.
No,
he's
just go into the stall and use the restroom. Have you ever used a porta potty? There are men standing outside the porta potty right there. It's not that different. It just seems like one of those weird we do things so weird here. Like, we turn things into, like, symbols, and then those symbols just stop making logical sense. Like, the symbol of, like, no man should ever be in the woman's bathroom. Okay, but then that turns into, so where does this young dad take his small daughters to go to the restroom?
I mean, this is the thing, right? So dad can't go in there to help his kids for a minute or two. But the solution is bring two little girls into the men's room.
Right.
Now, I've done that, too. Look, I've done that.
We've all done that.
Yeah. If you have a daughter and you're a dad, you've done that.
Yeah.
But it's not always conducive to that. It's not always the best place to be.
Yeah. And guys know that many times when we're in the men's room, a dad will have his little daughters in there.
Yeah.
Which always makes me feel a little weird. Not weird like, how dare you, just weird like, okay,
don't do anything weird.
Don't do anything weird.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, don't do anything weird.
And there are times where, like, there will be a 9 or 10-year-old little boy in the ladies' room because mom doesn't want to leave him outside the bathroom. And yet you do a little like, oh, he's in here. Okay. And then you just go along with your business.
Yeah. Yes.
I would rather him be with his parent and be, you know, safe and taken care of than be put in a situation that makes him or the mom uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we've lost our minds, and everything has to be this, like, big political stance of, like, you're not going to get away with this.
Amen.
Like, he's helping his daughter go to the bathroom.
The police arrived and said, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
And they made the other guy leave. So you're clearly wrong. Like, if you don't know something, don't act like you do. I can't get over the number of videos I see of people telling someone else they're breaking the law when they're not. You have no idea. Who are you to be the cop of anything?
Yeah.
Your job in that, if you think something's wrong, is to go to the manager of the store and tell the manager what's happening. And then it's the manager's job to say, is that against our store policy? Should I call the police? Whatever. It is not your job to be the police of all of these things.
Okay.
Settle down, boomer.
Well, speaking of the manager, Luke on the stream brings up the QT employee who was, did you see this in the video?
The lady?
Yeah, I think her name was Marlene.
She was great.
I could be getting her name wrong, but she's standing there at the door the whole time, basically saying, like, it's okay. He's
getting
allowed
the little
to
girl
be doing
towels.
This. Yeah, being like a total sweetheart and apologizing for mm-hmm. this other unruly customer. So this other customer is so mad that like you said, Wheels, he just completely forgot that there's actually other people in charge and they're saying this is the proper protocol. Yeah. And he decided, nah, I should just call the cops, I guess.
Yep. Welcome back, DJS 122. Attorney Brad Young is going to join us at 1:30. We'll talk about several interesting cases, one coming out of the Supreme Court just today about drugs and guns. And then we'll talk a little bit about the quote-unquote deal in Iran that the president signed yesterday. See what Brad thinks of that. Rach, you know how when you have a fear, and then a friend of yours, like, if you're afraid of bungee jumping, then your friend bungee jumps. You're like, wow. Wheels faced one of your fears last night.
Did he drink a glass of milk that someone else poured for him?
Nope. But
even
I would
worse.
Do that, too.
What did you do, Wheels?
I slept with the ceiling fan on full speed all night last night, right
Big
above
mistake.
My head. It was great.
You're asking for some Final Destination business there, buddy.
Were you scared?
No.
Were you scared?
It could fall on me and not hurt me.
No, it would hurt so bad. It
I
would,
can
like,
put my hand in there
off.
When it's going. I'll do video. I'll put my hand in there when it's going
no,
full speed.
No,
it would
chop you up into little tiny
pieces.
It
will pieces. Not. It will not.
Do it. Sucked
fan,
up into
do
it.
It. The fan will stop.
Human blender.
It will stop on my hand. They don't go that fast. At least not the typical. Like, I'm sure there are ceiling fans where that would be a bad idea. The ones we have are not that big of a
change. Kevin's going to come to work on Monday with no fingers.
I just don't trust them. I don't trust them. They seem like there are just certain pieces of equipment that seem unhappy when they're running for a long time, and ceiling fans are one of them.
Well, it was 83 degrees in my room last night, so there's no way that it wasn't going to be on.
I have a couple fans that blow right on me. One is a Vornado.
Yeah.
Give him a little shout. It's like that light bulb that's been on for 137 years. Like, it's, I don't think it's ever been off. And I feel bad because I always feel like it's tired. Or sometimes if I, I'll leave the downstairs television on. I don't know why. And then go up to bed. And when I get up in the morning, it's on. I feel bad because I feel like it's tired.
I feel really bad when I forget to stop a timer on my, or the stopwatch on my phone. And then I'll go back and it's like 8 hours have gone by. I'm like, oh man, I'm so sorry.
why do you leave the TV on?
You can rust now, little buddy.
Like if I fall asleep on the couch and I just drag myself upstairs, sometimes I'll just forget to turn the TV off.
Okay, you don't actively choose.
No. In case anyone wants to come to my house.
I get that fog of sleep. You know, you're just like, I got to find my pillow.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. I'm sure ladies are like this too. But for guys, because we pee at night a lot, especially older guys, and you really develop this ability to just like sleepwalk. Just go from, you know, bedroom, bathroom, back, as few thoughts as possible. Just get it done.
I'm like that at about 9 o'clock in the morning when the alarm goes off. Hey, just go right back to sleep.
Kev, I had a question for you.
What's that?
Sports question and a political question.
Oh, boy.
The San Francisco Giants pitchers who on Pride Night wrote a Bible verse about the rainbow. And, of course, they got a lot of backlash because, you know, disrespectful to Pride and you're in San Francisco, for the love of God. But I thought I saw that the MLB ruled on something or told them that they were breaking rules.
They don't want them doing that, no. They don't want them doing anything on any of their themed hats, whether it's, you know, the camo hats when they're honoring the military or it's 4th of July stuff. But obviously nobody's going to do anything for those because it's not acceptable. Sure. It's not normal. And if somebody did, it would be a big deal.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if someone put a message on their hat that was whatever about the military?
Yeah.
You know, and it's not likely to happen. Let's just be real. That's not something that has happened. But if it did, I think people would be rightfully annoyed by that. I would be annoyed by it. Your team is saying this is what we're doing. Your bosses, your company. It doesn't mean you are agreeing with anything. It doesn't mean that you're signing off on anything. And all of these teams, and I have no issue with any of this, teams have all kinds of theme nights. They have Christian night. If there was a player that wasn't a believer and he put a message on there contradicting something about Christian night, would you be okay with that? I wouldn't. I think it's terrible. Be a teammate. Be an employee. You can put yourself aside for that time because it's just a hat. Nobody's saying you have to endorse anything. Nobody's saying you have to do a photo op with anyone you don't want to. Nothing's like that's happening.
But doesn't MLB give them the option to not wear the hat if they don't want to? I thought that was an option. Because I thought someone else on the team just completely decided, I'm not going to wear the Pride hat.
Yeah. I don't know if they changed it, but that's happened in the past. And if that happens, it's a little petty, but it's kind of weird.
I don't mind at all. Military night,
no.
Pride night, Christian night, Muslim night.
I think we should have them for everybody so that everybody can be a part of it.
But I don't like dressing up the players in anything.
I just don't like it. I get it.
They're humans. They're not NASCARs. I don't like that whole thing.
And they got ads, so I guess they're okay with the ads because the ads help pay their salaries.
Yes. Just a moment before our love will die. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday to you. Attorney Brad Young joins us a couple times per week, and he's with us now. Hey, Brad.
Oh, no, I think...
Hey, Dave.
What?
Hey, Dave.
I was mixed up. He's here. Brad's here.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
It's okay. Rach is a little drunk.
I'm sorry.
It's okay when she's just a little drunk. We can put up with that. It's fine. Okay, we have lots to get to. Let's start, though, with the war and the memorandum of understanding. And I've read it. I'm sure you've read it. I have my opinions, but I'm really interested in yours. So take it away.
Well, yeah, I've read it. And it, number one, it specifically states that Iran has to what's called downblend their enriched material, which means their highly enriched uranium has to be blended with other uranium to make it less fissionable. So that helps to make it non-usable in a situation involving a nuclear weapon. Also, they have to freeze all expansion, enrichment, escalation. They have to do that. And what I like about it is that there are benchmarks. In other words, there's been a lot of talk about this $300 billion reconstruction fund. All of that money is coming from other countries, not the United States. And it requires Iran to actually go forward with the agreement and enforce the agreement, not just signing the MOU. So those are things that I appreciate. When you talk about the unfreezing of assets, very few of those assets are in the United States. I think a total of like $2 billion. The majority of it's over in China. So is it the best agreement? No, of course not. There is no such thing as a great agreement. Like in litigation, if everybody's happy, then it's probably not a good agreement. Or if somebody is too happy, it's probably not a good agreement. A great agreement is when nobody's happy. Because that shows that both sides did a little bit of give and a little bit of take. So overall, I agree that this is probably the best agreement anyone could get.
Do you think it was worth it?
That's a great question. At the end of the day, if this didn't happen, then eventually it would have had to have happened. If it wasn't now, it would have to be later. And the reason why I think that is, look at North Korea. I mean, for years, we took the exact same position with North Korea that we took with Iran. We will not allow them to get nuclear weapons. Well, no, we didn't do anything, and North Korea got a nuclear weapon. So I think it would have been inevitable that Iran would have gotten it. So the question is, do you do this now or kick the can down the road like other past presidents have done? I think that's debatable. But at the end of the day, knowing that Iran won't have a nuclear weapon, I think it makes it worth it.
So here's what go ahead, Kev.
I feel like this is not even a done deal yet. Everything seems to be contingent upon further negotiations.
Oh, you're 100% correct. All we have now is a memorandum of understanding that ceases military operations on both sides, and it opens up the strait. That's literally all that we have. Now, there's this 60-day period where all of these other things have to be negotiated. But I think the beauty of this memorandum of understanding is that Iran doesn't get any money at this point. The only thing that happens is the Strait of Hormuz is open, so they can resume selling oil on the open market. But there is no money changing hands, and there is no necessarily agreement other than stop fighting, open up the straits.
Because my understanding was the old agreement had the same provision that this one has as far as their nuclear capabilities. That it limited them to a certain percentage of enrichment that would allow for like nuclear power and things like that, but not nearly to the level that would allow for making weapons. And that was already in the 2015 thing.
It was in the 2015 thing, but we also know that Iran had highly enriched uranium that exceeded the limits in the 2015 because under the 2015 agreement, number one, the inspectors, I forgot the exact amount. I think it was 30 days. I could be mistaken on the exact time frame, but the inspectors had to give 30 days notice to come in and test the uranium. Well, obviously, they just moved the uranium around because they had 30 days before the testing. There is no, at least what I've seen, there is no 30-day advanced warning. You know, hello, we're going to come test the uranium 30 days from now. There's none of that in there. So we know the 2015 agreement did not work because Iran had highly enriched uranium as of today. So the proof in the pudding, so to speak, will be whether or not there will be inspectors. And that's yet to be discussed,
right.
Yet to be worked out. None of that has been agreed to. And if this deal eventually gets done after 60 days, according to the administration, there has to be testing rules that do not require advanced warning so that we can get a better handle on whether the uranium is or is not highly enriched.
Right. That kind of gets to the because the way I've been seeing it described is that right now, it's just, okay, the only good thing is that the fighting stops. And that after that, We still don't know yet if this is going to be any different or any better than it was before, because the whole point is Iran was not following the previous agreement. Why would they follow this one under the same logic?
Exactly. So we've got the next 60 days, Wheels,
right,
to figure this out. And, you know, it's very possible that 60 days from now, the bombing starts again. I mean, that... It very well could, right? Yeah, if Iran comes to the table, says,
I've never even seen the Poly Market, but I'm going to find it, and I'm going to put all my 401k on that. I'll tell you one thing that's not going to happen. This is over. There's no way in the world this is over.
It's never over with Iran. It's never over.
And that's what, like, I just feel like I'm playing house. I feel like I'm just pretending with my friends because, you know, I think it's paragraph one, whatever, where it's like, you know, we're not going to pursue a nuclear weapon. Okay, that's meaningless. It's worthless. It was worthless in the Obama agreement. It's worthless now. It'll be worthless in 20 years. It means nothing. And so I thought we had a better deal under the previous deal. I lump it all into the war because I don't think we had a good reason to go to war based on the information that came out about that meeting that they had with the entire cabinet, and every single one of them gave reasons not to go to war, except for Hegseth, who had a boner. And like Tulsi Gabbard said, we have no indication that they're anywhere close to a nuclear device. Radcliffe from the CIA said the exact same thing, but we went anyway, and it has been pretty devastating to our economy. Economies all over the world. For the first time, Iran learned that, oh, we can shut down the strait effectively. So now they have that in their back pocket anytime they want. I don't like them getting $300 billion from anyone. It would be worse if it was our taxpayer money, but I don't like them getting that money from anyone. You think they're really going to use that for the people or infrastructure? Of course not. So I don't like anything about it. I don't know what the alternative is. You know, I mean, Trump's already said that we were like 4 weeks from running out of oil, and he did this to avoid a worldwide depression. Well, then you shouldn't have started it if you're worried about a worldwide depression. I don't know. I just, it is what it is. But you look at the four corners, you know, Brad, like we learned the first week in contracts in law school, and there's really just nothing there. It's just nothing.
No, is the only thing that we have today are empty promises and an agreement to stop shooting and open up the strait. That's all we have today. Now, 60 days from now, you know, I'm going to be looking very critically at what's agreed to 60 days from now. As you all know, I am never opposed to criticizing Trump if the deal is bad. I'll be cheering it if the agreement is good. I like to think that I'm balanced on this, so I want to see what it looks like 60 days from now. But as of today, we got a promise, and there's no shooting, and that's it.
We're gonna do a couple of segments with me, Brad.
Yes, I can hang around. Sure.
Pick the one that we can do the quickest, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the case with the drugs and the guns.
Okay. So right now, Luigi Mangione, I can cover this quickly.
Okay.
He's stating that he was acting under extreme emotional disturbance. That's his defense, right? Mm-hmm. So if he wins on that argument, then the jury still finds him guilty, but he gets a lesser charge. But here's why this is, I think, very dangerous legally. To exercise that defense that you were acting under an extreme emotional disturbance when you killed Brian Thompson, the CEO of UnitedHealthcare, at that point, he has to admit that he did it. Okay, he has to actually admit that he shot and killed the guy, and he's saying, yeah, but I did it because I was under extreme emotional disturbance. So now, all of a sudden, the prosecution doesn't even have to prove you did it. They're going to admit that they did it, and to me, boy, that's a Hail Mary. I mean, either you win it big or you lose it big, but I think that's a dangerous defense.
All right. One last thing before we go. Jason on the stream says, what about getting Americans held in Iran released, not being a part of this horrific agreement? I know it wasn't a part of Obama's either. I heard Major Garrett on with Chris Namey earlier, and I guess he asked Obama about that, you know, 10 years ago, and Obama got pissed at him. But that seems like something Iran probably would have gone for.
Yeah, and it really, in all honesty, it should have been. I mean, when you want to talk about protecting Americans, how about Americans that are right now jailed in Iran? I mean, to me, that's the epitome of protecting Americans, and that should have been part of this deal because they would have given it up. They would have done that. They don't have any big desire to keep people in prison. They got to feed them.
Right.
Right. So I think that should have been part of this deal.
Welcome back, DGS. Brad Young back with us. So, Brad, let's talk about the big case, at least for me, as someone who eats gummies and has guns. The case about using drugs or being a drug abuser. I forget what the actual language was. But the Supreme Court has ruled in favor of druggies or guns or both or what?
Well, yeah, it's federal law, 18 U.S.C. Section 922. And under that section, it prevents you from applying for an application to own a firearm if you regularly use illegal drugs. And under federal law, marijuana is still illegal. I mean, even though most states now it's not, but it is under federal law. So this guy from Texas, Ali Yamani, he was prosecuted for this because federal agents, they found a gun and marijuana in his home. And he admitted under questioning that he smoked weed every day. And so they prosecuted him for this. And this is interesting. This is why you really have to watch Supreme Court cases, Dave, because this was a 9-0 unanimous decision. But it was very narrow, meaning that Gorsuch wrote this ruling to specifically say it only applies to this guy, that he could not be prosecuted. And it doesn't give any sort of sweeping language about that under this law for future cases, it cannot be, marijuana doesn't apply. I mean, there's no sweeping application for this ruling, but it does really raise the bar that in the future, if prosecutors are going to go after people like Hunter Biden and prosecute under the statute, they're going to have something more than he smokes some weed. I mean, it's going to have to be impairment, that he is also in drug rehab, that he's been convicted of crimes that were committed while he was under the influence. I mean, it's going to have to be something more than just, I have gummies and a gun. I mean, that's just not going to be enough.
Brad, this court seems to me to be sort of a punk out court.
You mean in terms of not reaching the big decisions?
Yeah, they seem to do the bare minimum. And I know we don't want the opposite. We don't want them just overreaching and saying, I know you didn't ask us this question, but we're going to tell you anyway. But, like, have some balls.
Yeah, if you look at decisions in the past, though, I mean, this has really always been the case. This isn't new. Maybe we're noticing it more in the era of 24-hour news coverage. But if you remember con law, you probably don't remember con law from law school. But in con law, we talked a lot about how that the Supreme Court would often narrowly tailor decisions so as to avoid making big sweeping judgments. And that's what we see here.
Brad, so help me out. Like I said, I'm very open on the air that I like pot gummies. I haven't had a drink. Not that I had a drinking problem. I haven't had a drink since. I've discovered those 2 or 3 years ago. And I do own a couple guns. So let's say that I'm driving in my car and I have a bag of gummies I just bought from Suede, perfectly legally in the state of Missouri. And I'm driving home and the cops pull me over. This is outside of guns. And they have it in for me. And can I be charged with a drug offense even though I bought them legally and I'm operating the way I'm supposed to legally in the state of Missouri?
Boy, the reason why I'm pausing slightly is that there's a difference between technically and what practically happens. I actually researched this a few years ago whenever marijuana was on the ballot in Missouri, just to answer that question. I could not find any instance, not a single time I couldn't find, of an occurrence where someone was prosecuted under federal law when it was legal under state law.
Okay.
So if you want to ask, is it technically possible? I would have to say it would have to come from the feds. It would not come from your regular Missouri State Highway Patrol officer. Mm-hmm. Maybe the federal authorities, if the FBI raided your house for some reason, maybe they could charge you with that. But again, I've not found a single instance where that's ever happened.
Tell us about the Wentzville judge.
Well, I think this is interesting because it clashes. It's kind of a First Amendment issue a little bit here. And what happened is this judge, his name is Michael Carter. You may have seen him. He's got like a TV show that he's got. And I don't think he's on radio anymore, but he's got a TV show. He's big in social media. So even though he's a municipal judge out in Wentzville, his social media account really slanders defendants. shows that he's prejudging against people who are charged with municipal offenses. He also mocks women and says all these other kinds of things that you just don't want judges to do. And so the Missouri Judicial Disciplinary Panel said, hey, we want him off the bench. And they've recommended that to the Missouri Supreme Court, not unlike what happened about a year ago with a dude who was dressing like Elvis in court.
Yeah.
And then he was politicking in court and they kicked him out. I mean, even though he had a deal where he would stay a judge, just wouldn't run for reelection. Mike Carter is being recommended to be taken out now. And when I say taken out, I don't want to make it like an 86-47 situation. I mean, taken out of his judicial position.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you have to ask, is what about free speech? But this isn't criminal prosecution. And just like Wheels said right before I came on, you know, if your employer tells you to do something and you don't do it, I mean, there's a problem with that, right? And so his employer is the Missouri Supreme Court, and the employer here may say, we're going to fire you because you are saying things that demean judges. And so we got to call you on that.
All right. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.